respect the bell.
Welcome back to Crunch Time, final segment on a Wednesday. That means the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, ask him if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved with that story. He has been using quite liberally the pending option the last few weeks, almost as if he's making a point that he does use it. So that is also an option out there. I am not going to start with the Ducks this week. This week we start in baseball, and a guy you don't particularly like, David Ortiz. Big Poppy absolutely killing it in his final season in the bigs. Last night, overcame a fan in the stands bothering him and ended up hitting his 36th bomb of the year.
Jeez.
Currently leads all of baseball in slugging, on base plus slugging percentage, and is in the top 10 in home runs, third in RBI, has only struck out 75 times, leads the league with an unreal 47 doubles, is hitting .318, which is eighth in the league. The guy is having the best last season anyone has ever had, and has led many to say that not only that, but that he could be deserving of the AL MVP this year. Those numbers and rankings I gave are for all of the big leagues. In terms of the American League, it's basically between he and his teammate Mookie Betts, Jose Altuve, Mike Trout. After laying out the numbers and knowing what you know about the other guys and that he leads them in most of those categories, and putting your hatred of David Ortiz aside, the prospectus, you buy or sell that he should be AL MVP this year?
I wouldn't say I hate him. It's a George Brett thing. He just kills. He kills the Yankees. And by the way, remind me to bring this up later. It's amazing you let this surface.
Sports hate.
I thought that, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine. He popped positive in a Mitchell Report PEDS test.
Okay.
That's one time, and there's some suspicious circumstances. Is he going to be the one to break the mold, and maybe because of his reputation, because of that, and how he finished his career, maybe be the first guy with a direct PEDS connection to get into the hole?
Interesting.
I want to think about that.
That'll be a Crunch Exchange question like 10 years from now.
Trout's out, because I don't even consider guys whose teams aren't in it.
Right.
So what was the
basically Altuve? Mookie Betts?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So are you saying, is Ortiz in the MVP running?
Is he going? Should he win the AL MVP this year?
I got to tell you, I still got to go pending on that one.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Could be legend. Wait for it. Now we get to Oregon. Lost to Nebraska for a few reasons. Royce Freeman getting hurt, missing two-point conversions, the massive amount of penalties they had. Steve Greatwood said penalties was the reason they lost. Pretty much to a man, the players agreed with that. But we're not rational people. We're football fans. So we blame it on two-point failures. Now, there is a lot of fire with that smoke when it comes to that being at least a reason they lost. They have abandoned extra points for a formation with Charles Nelson as the signal caller, where he can either run either way or even attempt jump passes. They have done it in every game they've played this year, and it certainly looks like it isn't going away anytime soon. Mark Helfrich basically said as much. Oregon is different. They play the numbers game, but right now the numbers are going directly against them. 1 of 5 ain't good, and as we found out, can indeed lose you a football game. But some perspective. Oregon gained 35 extra points via two-point plays between 2014 and 2015. This year, they're 4 of 11. So is this an overreaction? The prospectus. Oregon should abandon completely their two-point conversion formation.
Completely? Oof. As opposed to actually get a holder out there and a quarterback?
The formation, at the very least, where they have Charles Nelson as the quarterback, essentially.
I don't like that at all. I'm actually going to buy that. Get the holder out there. Get a guy who can throw the ball and run an offense. But Nelson's not throwing the ball. He's going to get it, and it's like, I bet you he runs it.
And when he does, it's not very well.
All to the ball.
On to the only thing that really matters this week against Colorado, the betting line.
Whee!
Obviously, you'll speak with Lee Sterling this Friday to get an official prediction from someone who does it for a living. But the line is only up on a few sites right now. Currently sits at 10.5 points. Oregon at home against Colorado used to be somewhere in the 30s. Says something about both teams, probably. Colorado might be without Sefo Lufau, their quarterback, because of an injury. He will be a game-time decision. Royce Freeman, according to pretty much all sources, including Helfrich himself, has looked good this week in practice, was listed as Oregon's starter at running back, so at least he'll be available. Oregon could have a sour taste in its mouth after losing a game they probably should have won in Lincoln, but Colorado is a different team. winning their first two games by a combined score of 100-14, then giving number 4 Michigan a run for their money in the Big House last week. But all of that's with a healthy Lufau. Prospectus, Oregon covers the 10.5 at home.
Oy, don't we need to find out if Lufau's actually playing?
Game time decision.
I got to go with the big P again. I don't trust anything about either team or this season. I'm going pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Yeah, the more we can get Neil Patrick Harris on the show, the better.
And first of all, let's get one thing straight. When I say who I like in a game, I act like I'm betting. So you can boo all you want. It's not your money.
Yeah, Nick booing Steve's money. On to the NFL. On to the NFL where the Patriots. Is this a town of snakes? On to the NFL, where the Patriots keep defying all the odds and winning football games. No Tom Brady, no Gronk, now no Jimmy Garoppolo, who has a sprained AC joint. But somehow, they continue to win games. Bill Belichick, basically a coaching Jedi. The other side looks at him, he waves his hand and mumbles, "You're going to lose this game." And the team just stops trying and says, "Well, crap, I guess we're just going to lose this game." This week, New England plays Houston. Houston isn't exactly a juggernaut, but they do have arguably the best defensive front in the NFL, and the Patriots will likely be trotting out rookie Jacoby Brissett out of NC State. Obviously, you know who he is. I won't bore you with the details on him. But the prospectus, the Patriots will beat Houston anyways.
This is not the end zone you're looking for.
Well, I guess it's not the end zone we're looking for.
First of all, did the Houston Texans ever win a game that mattered where it was time to show resolve? No. Did the Patriots? Yes.
Like a bunch of them.
I am not picking against New England. I'm going to buy that.
Back to the betting lines, good
Yay!
Sir. Vegas came out this week with the odds for regular season wins in the NBA. Guess who took the lead? Golden State Warriors. The line set at 66.5. Oh, man, I was going to bet that if it was 66, but that half a win is
scaring me.
I love betting lines. But Golden State surpassed that last season by kind of a lot. They were untouchable until they weren't in the finals. And now they added Kevin Durant to the mix of the Splash Brothers, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, and, well, not really much else. But that's probably enough, right? Who needs a center in this NBA? The prospectus, you buy or sell the Warriors beating that 66.5 win spread.
Well, what did they win last year? 73?
Yes, sir.
Aren't they better? Aren't other
That's
teams
what I'm saying.
Worse? I'm actually thinking of loading on that. This might be one of my biggest, like, not exactly knowing as opposed to opinion buys in the history of the Crunch Exchange. Count it.
Ring it up.